I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today we have a very exciting guest, Natalie Linez, aka Lydia from Tell Me Lies. You girls know how much I just love that show. So this was very exciting for me, and it should be very exciting for you because you're crazy if you are not as obsessed with Tell Me Lies as I am. And we have Natalie on because she kept coming up on my For You page on TikTok. Her videos were always popping up, and they really stood out to me because she's doing something that I have never seen an actor do. She is creating content around the reality of her career and the audition processes, like the total inside scoop and behind the scenes type stuff. And like, you know, mindset work. She's really into all of that. She even does mentorship. She offers a mentorship program where she gives guidance for those pursuing an acting career. And I feel like, let me make that clear. That's not acting coaching. You know, like I feel like we've heard about acting coaches so many times, but not ever acting mentorship in regards to how to navigate the career and going through the trials and tribulations and the ups and downs. And not to mention, yes, we do hear about acting coaches, but said coaches are always people who don't actually act. They're not people that you see on TV. So Natalie's popping up for me with all this type of content and insight. And this is a girl that I am watching on what I would think is the biggest show on Hulu. Like, I was just so impressed. And then I went to her social media and I saw that she has all these ways that you could just hit her up, you know, for guidance and coaching. It was just so amazing to me. So I had to reach out and hear more about her and what she does. And I am so glad that I did because this episode is so value-packed, so insightful. I learned so much because what do I know about, you know, the TV and film industry, the acting career? I know nothing. So I learned a lot from hearing about her. The episode is broken up in pretty much like two parts. The beginning, like the first half, is all about Natalie's personal journey with this career and all the behind the scenes stuff of being a working actor, including the not so glamorous stuff and also just really great mindset stuff. Like I said, she's really big into that. She's huge into mindfulness and vision boards. So there's great tips and pointers there that you could apply to honestly any career, even if you have no interest in being an actor. It's things that we talk about and say here all the time on For the Girls. So that stuff is really cool. And then in the latter half, the second half of the episode, we really dive into Tell Me Lies and her experience on that show specifically. And it's just so much fun. So I think you girls are just going to love this episode as much as I did. And of course, you can watch the episode on YouTube if you want to see us have the conversation rather than just listen to it. And the link to that YouTube video will be in the show notes for easy access. Also, important to note before we get into the episode, if you are listening in real time in November 2024, the Black Friday and Cyber Monday deal for the Queens of Confidence program is officially live. This is huge, actual huge. We're talking 60% huge. So if you have been thinking about getting my signature digital coaching program, it is 60% off this week only. It ends December 2nd, 2024 at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm giving specifics in case you're listening in the future. So if you're listening right now, November 25th, 2024, it begins. December 2nd, 2024, it ends at night. And I promise you will never get the program lower than this. So now is the time to grab it. And also for easy, immediate access, the link to the program is in the show notes. So run and grab it while it's 60% off for a very limited time. Now, let's get into the episode. Okay, everyone, please welcome Natalie to For the Girls. I am so excited. Introduce yourself to the girls and tell us all about what you do.
Hey, girls. Thanks for having me on, Victoria. I'm Natalie. I think that most of you probably know me as an actor. I'm on a little show called Tell Me Lies on Hulu. I'm also on other things as well, but that's my most recent show. Actually, Chicago PD is also a recent one that just aired that I'm currently filming. But I mean, where do you want me to start? I don't know.
Let's start by backing up first, because I want to hear about your background and your journey. Like, how did you end up even in this position of becoming an actor? Did you grow up in theater? Did you pick it up later on? Just paint the full picture for us.
Yeah. So I knew I wanted to be an actor since I was like 6 years old. I would tell my mom that I wanted to do this. And we lived in Orange County, which is just a couple hours south of LA. What?
Are you going to say that you grew up watching The OC and loved The OC?
No, I didn't grow up watching it. I'm from there.
No, you're from there. But did you watch The OC?
I did not. I watched Laguna Beach.
No, but The OC. Like, you know The OC? Like,
I know.
Adam Brody, Misha Barton. Yeah, like.
No.
Oh, you almost just gave me a heart attack when you said The OC. I'm like, oh my God. Because that, Stop. I can't. Let me not get ahead of myself.
Are you a The OC stan? Like, you love...
Oh my God, stan? Like, okay, so maybe I was in the second or third grade when it came out. Like, this is 20-something years ago. Never miss an episode. Watch it every week. Have every... To this day, I have all the DVDs. You remember how, like, Victoria, shows used to come out on DVD?
We're the same age. When I was in second grade, I was obsessed with SpongeBob. Like...
No.
Die hard. Sheets, birthday parties, bounce houses, cakes, napkins, plates, utensils, SpongeBob, everything.
No, I was in the second grade with our family computer in the living room. You know how everyone had the one big computer that would like dial up? Yeah. In the living room on Zillow, showing my parents houses in Orange County, being like, it's not that much. Let's go. I wanted to be in. I felt like if I could get there, I would like be in the show. Like, I was obsessed with McKenzie, Adam Brody. Oh my God. So I lived your dream life. You did. Oh my God. I'm so jealous. So I'm very sorry, but keep going. You grew up in Orange County and you wanted to be an actor at 6 years old. Proceed.
Proceed. I had never seen The OC, but I don't know what it was. So I knew once I got older and stuff and was watching Disney Channel, I was really drawn to like what they were doing on there. You know, I'm like, what is this? I want to do this. Selena Gomez, Wizards of Waverly Place, Hannah Montana, Switched at Birth, Pretty Little Liars, like whatever I need to do to get there, I will do it one day. But I didn't know how, because my mom like was super supportive verbally, but she wasn't a stage mom. Like, she wasn't going to drive me 2 hours to LA for a 2-minute audition. And also, she's very Orange County housewife. Like, she just wasn't her. She didn't know what to do, where to start. But she was always like, yeah, like, love that for you, sweetie. So growing up, I would sign up for theater at school because that was like an elective. And I would walk in and I would look around and I would be like, wait, this is so not what I want to do. Like, who are these people? They don't feel like my people. What is going on? And so I would instantly, every single year, sign up for theater, walk in, and then sign up for a different elective, being like TV broadcast journalism or something else, a different elective. And I was like, why is this happening? Like, I know I want to act. So I graduated high school at 17, junior year, because I took the GED, graduated a year early, to get out of high school due to like so much bullying and stuff. And I was like, I know, I like was kind of an old soul. I knew that this, that high school wasn't life. You know what I mean? I was like, I want to get out of here. I already know what I want to do with my life. So graduated, and then I still had to stay in Orange County because I didn't have enough money to like move yet to LA. So I worked as a bagger at Albertsons. Do you guys have Albertsons?
What is that, a grocery store?
Yeah, grocery store.
Okay, no, we don't have it, but I assumed, yeah.
Yes, from like 16 to 18, and then I worked as a server at Buffalo Wild Wings. And during that time, I signed up for a community college during the day. Because I did love school. I just didn't love high school. And there was an acting for TV and film class, which I'm speaking at next week, actually, with Maria Mayenzet, who is a – she used to be in soap operas. But she was a TV and film star. And so I walk into this class, and we're reading scripts. And we're working with cameras. We're working with the director class doing scenes. And I'm like – oh my God, here's the thing that I want to do. Like, this is the thing. It's not theater, you know, reading plays. I've honestly, like, I haven't read that. I've maybe read two plays. Whereas I think a lot of actors, like, theater is fucking amazing. And I love going to watch plays. And I lived in New York for a year and I saw Wicked for the first time and I saw brilliant Broadway shows, but it's just not what I wanted to do. And I quickly learned that they were very different and it was okay. Cause I like felt shame for a while of like, ooh, why don't I like this theater thing? Why aren't I a theater kid? And then I just owned it. And I was like, no, TV and film is different. It's way more intimate with the camera versus a huge audience. And so I kind of just instantly fell into that and never ended up doing anything theater based. And I took that class with Maria and saved up from doing some working at Buffalo Wild Wings, as well as I did e-commerce modeling, which I buried and never talk about. But I did like 3 years of modeling. I would email companies when I was like 19 and be like, hey, here's my height and my weight and a couple photos of me. Because no modeling agency would sign me because I'm 5'6" and honestly not even like that much of a model look. And I would email agencies to try to get signed and like no one would see me. I went to every single open call, never got signed. So for extra money, I would email clothing companies and be like, hey, I'll come like model your clothes. And my first rate was $25 an hour. And then I would like bump it to 30. And then I became a fit model for this one brand and at 30 an hour. And I did that for a while. Anyways, I saved up $5,000. Or 3,000, I forget the number, 3 or 5,000, and moved to LA at 20. And that money went in 1 month, literally, because I got so many parking tickets. And because I didn't know how to read the Los Angeles parking signs. And got a restaurant job, hosted at night, went on auditions during the day. And at 23... so 3 years after I moved to LA, about 5 years after I really started pursuing acting, I booked my first role.
And I saw you talk about this on TikTok where you said it took that, you know, 4 to 5 year time span, which was 320 auditions before you booked your first role. So what is that like? What does that do to a person? You're, I mean, not even that, just how did you even stick with it? 320 auditions, 320 no's until you finally got the yes. What is that experience like?
Yeah. I think this tunnel vision on a goal, right? Like I knew there was nothing else I wanted to do. And little things throughout the years would keep me up, like booking a little commercial or like a non-union job or something like that. But there definitely was a point where I was auditioning so much and like getting callbacks, but I didn't even get a lot of callbacks. I think it's important for people to hear this. They think like they're auditioning for so long, but they don't get many callbacks. Like that was me too. I would maybe get a callback, maybe get close, be one of the two girls. But for the most part, it was a lot of like silence. I think I always go back to my representation, which is an agent and a manager. And I think I got really lucky in the beginning. I did get dropped a few times and I had to let people go, but it was early on that I found my like dream team, and they were really supportive and they saw my potential. And so they gave me a lot of like confidence, and I was able to call them and, you know, be like feeling sad or whatever. And they would kind of fill me with hope. I think hope is a really interesting word that has carried me through the last 10 years. Like, I never lost it. I continued to have this drive that it was going to happen eventually. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't take away the downtimes of like not booking for that many years. And I think just little wins got me through it. And then once I got the big win, I was like, okay, I know that I can do this. It gave me so much confidence when I booked that first TV role of like, okay, I'm not crazy. Because to actually book a network television show, so many people have to approve your audition and stuff, that I was like, okay, like 30 people just saw my tape. It was an in-person audition, but they'll send that tape up to network that they film you with in the audition. They approved it. So like, I know that I'm here for a reason at that point.
Right. Right. It wasn't just like someone liked your face and they're like, okay, cool. Like, it was like a whole process, which is, I would say that's probably super validating for an actor to know, just to get that single yes is like, okay, I'm on the right track. I want to ask you, because you bring up the agents and whatnot, what is that process like? Where do you need to have any credentials before getting an agent? Or can you be like, hey, I just want an agent. Like, I booked absolutely nothing. I have nothing to show for myself, but I want representation. Like, how do you actually go about getting an agent as a beginner?
Yeah, that was me with nothing to show for it. Times have changed a lot in 2024 than they were in 2017 when I started pursuing it. So when I started pursuing it, there was a lot more projects being cast. Now, even though there's so much more content, it's very saturated. So there's less roles that are going into the breakdowns for agents and managers to pitch you on. When I first started out, I was going out for leads and shows all the time auditioning. This year, I can count on two hands how many I've gone on. So times have just changed in general with AI and the mergers of companies, and Paramount Plus TV division just shut down. Like, there's just so many business and political things that go into it that us as artists don't ever look at or become aware of. I just so happen to have a boyfriend who is like very interested in all of that and like lets me know certain things. And I'm like, oh, that's why I'm getting so little auditions this year. You know, it's not just like we're all doomed and the industry hates me. It's like there's just so much behind the scenes that we have no idea about. So back then I was lucky that it was that time where I was able to get signed. However, these days, what I tell my clients, because I mentor actors, is we go through this whole stage of like, depending on where you're at, but let's say you're beginner, right? The first thing I need you to do is like sign up for a local acting class just to get familiar with verbiage, what people are talking about that week, what your fellow actors are going through, reading scenes, reading lines out loud, like, boom, get into an acting class. You'll meet a lot of people. You'll get a lot of questions answered that way. Then I need you to understand yourself as a human being, because what type of roles do you want to play? What can you play well, right? A lot of actors are like, especially actors that are less seasoned, and I am not a seasoned actor. I will always be growing and like getting better. I am very new in the grand scheme of things, but you want to hone in on something that you're good at, especially if you want to try to get repped. Because if you, as an actor, you know, we all say like, well, I'm an actor. I can play anything. I can play everything. And I don't want to be put in a box. Well, you should be put in a box. You should at least be put in 10 boxes versus like 10,000, right? Because that is putting yourself on a platter to an agent and a manager and being like, hey, like, here's my niche. Here's my type. Talk about business. You know, you want to niche down. You want to like, and it's not going to limit us. It's going to actually broaden us. And then it'll we'll be able to get our foot in the door so we can have future opportunities and then start really using the other like abilities we have, I guess. But unfortunately, agents and managers and even sometimes casting directors aren't that creative. So they're not able to look at us and be like, oh yeah, I can see you as a Marvel superhero. You have to really tell them like, here's my quote type. So yeah. For me back then, I knew exactly. I was like, I am your quintessential Vampire Diary, Lucy Hale, Nina Dobrev. Like, you know, I'm like, put me in that young adult CW box all day, mysterious young adult. Maybe it was a novel, you know, put me in that ensemble. And they saw it too. So, right, it's a little bit easier to kind of fall in line and agree when they're like, oh, got it. Young, mysterious, someone died in the town. Am I the bad villain? Am I not? You know, what's going on? So that was me then. Now it's different. Like now I'm like Ana de Armas, 007. You know, that's like what I want to be playing. Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot vibes. So the next step I'll tell them to after the acting classes, I send them like a self-discovery worksheet. And I'm like, okay, light a candle, get some tea, sit down. And it's based on acting. So it's like, list your 5 favorite TV shows. What characters are you drawn to? Which characters do you see yourself as? Text 3 friends, ask them, hey, is there a character, an actor, a show that I remind you of? Like, how do people perceive you? You know, digging into being very specific so that when you do have that meeting with an agent or a manager, you have something to talk about and bring to the table versus like, yeah, you know, Hulu, that yeah, I want to be on it. Yeah, so does everybody else. You know what I mean? So figuring out your thing. And then you get into your materials, which is your headshot, your resume, and your reel, which are essential in this start of becoming an actor, unless you're a Nepo baby. You need a great headshot. You need footage of you acting. Back in the day, you needed like real footage, and that was the tricky thing where it's like, well, where do I start? I've never acted before. I don't have a reel. Now you can put yourself on tape on a blue backdrop because our tapes are going so far now to network that agents and managers are used to watching tapes and seeing talent through that lens. So finding a scene that you think that you can really like thrive in and putting yourself on tape for that. And resume, if you don't have anything, you just need to, I send you a template and you just need to fill out what you can. Then you take that and you send it to agents and managers. And there's like a whole method there that I teach within my mentorship sessions.
Wow. It's so intricate. I also, you brought up a really good point when you said how times have changed as far as like, you know, casting, but then you also just a couple seconds ago brought up the whole nepotism thing. So would you say that that's a big reason too, why there's not as much casting? Because people just casting or directors or whatever, just they know already who they want for the role. I feel like there's a lot more creating roles around the person they want rather than just creating a role and like seeking a person for it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think there's definitely that case going on, but nepotism is, you know, that's like family, right? Is that the definition? Like family.
Yeah, like you're like a Nepo baby. So yeah, like you know Hailey Bieber, whatever.
Exactly.
So, like she's a Nepo baby.
So yes, there's gonna be cases like that. Like I know Dakota Johnson is kind of known as one. Her dad is
I named someone who is not even an actor. Sorry, that was a bad example. But
No.
Yeah, Dakota Johnson. Perfect.
Definitely, Hailey Bieber has definitively gotten opportunities because of her family. Now, but here's the thing I say to that, because people also ask me about networking, and I think these both of these can go hand in hand. So like networking as an actor and nepotism, sure, you are going to get more opportunities because your dad's the director, whatever. But at the end of the day, remember what I talked about earlier, there's so many cooks in the kitchen. So like to be the lead in a show or at least a series regular top 10, top 8, that you still need to get approved by so many people or else the show's not going to work. There's a lot more money going into it than just like, Oh yeah, that's your friend. Or you guys met at a party and mingled all night. Oh, you think she's hot? That's cool. She's not going to be in our project. Sorry. You know, or like she can have the hostess job or whatever. But like, and granted, I do only speak from my experience. So like my experience has been such a ground up approach of like really working for every single opportunity that I've had. So don't get me wrong. I'm sure I probably could have maybe been like rubbing elbows a little bit more. But at the end of the day, I just truly believe, especially for these huge network shows, like even take sure, there's the popular like TikTok shows, but then you have like an NCIS or a Chicago PD or something. And like those people are making real money and going 12 seasons, 22 episodes a season. It's none of this mini series, 8 episode, you know. And Dick Wolf, who produces all of, creates all of those types of shows, a lot of them, the Chicago universe and more. They're not like, oh, yeah, you know that girl? Yeah, yeah, bring her in. Like, let's hire her. No, 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 no. You're going through a whole casting process and everyone has to, you know, like you and approve you. Directors are really good people to know. They make that last decision. So your point, yes, especially movie-wise, huge movie, yes. Ana de Armas gets the offer for sure. Dakota Johnson is attached to the project. Beginning. Lucy Hale is one of those like a little bit less relevant now, but she's on a short list of like Sydney Sweeney. She's on a list where it's like, she's on a list for production companies where if you have a script and you can attach her, we will produce your entire movie for, we'll give you all the funding you need if her name is attached and we'll pay her the money, 1.5 or whatever her rate is. So there is that, but Sydney Sweeney worked her ass all the way up to that position.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that your goal? Like to be that, like, do you want to be like a movie star? Or I don't really know because I'm not in the industry, like what the difference per se to go from TV to movie, but like, is that what you want?
Yeah. That's such a good question. Yes. But at the same time, I love TV. It's been on all my vision boards, like networks and specific big TV producers that I want to work with, you know, Taylor Sheridan of Yellowstone. Like TV has become so cinematic that I would hate to rule it out in any way, shape, or form and be like, I really want to be a movie star. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. I kind of want 7 seasons of a dope ass show that I'm the lead of.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But speaking of the hiatuses and taking time off and whatnot, that leads to my next question, which is just, you know, there is this off time when you're not getting booked, when you're not filming something. So for a working actor, what is that like? Are you picking up side jobs? I know it's not, you know, unless you're like we said, the Sydney Sweeneys and the $2 million projects and you're super famous and glamorous, it's not all that glamorous. So you're, yeah, for the most part, a regular person. What do you do during, yeah, that time off?
Yeah, it's definitely true. I think even me as a working actor, and like what those terms mean in case people don't know, is like working actor means that it's just like it sounds. You are an actor, but you're working. Because you can still be an actor, but like you have literally never worked, or maybe once a year or something like that. So like I am lucky enough to be a working actor.
Yeah, that's like half of LA or half of New York. Everyone's an actor, but they're not.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So I'm lucky to be a working actor. Even being a working actor, I have so much time off until I'm the lead in, I was the lead in a movie, for example, in March or May, a Tubi movie. And it only shot for 3 weeks. I was working every single day, including Easter, for 3 weeks straight, 14 hours a day. Didn't have time there. But unless you're doing that, you have a lot of time off. So, you know, when I did my first show, Siren, which I did 12 episodes of, and I was flying back and forth to Vancouver, Canada, I wasn't the lead in that show by any means. I was a recurring. And so I would go up there and film on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then they would keep me Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and film me Monday. And then send me home Tuesday, and then I wouldn't be in the next episode. So then I would be off for 4 weeks and come back. You know what I mean? So I had so much time off. And as a young person in your 20s figuring yourself out, you're like, ooh, this was supposed to make me happy. Like, why am I feeling a void? Why am I feeling like not motivated by this thing? And I was happy when I was on set, but again, so much time off. So during that time, I was like listening to a lot of podcasts and reading a lot of books, which is my favorite phase of life. I don't know if you ever went through that phase where like you didn't read books and then all of a sudden you discovered like every self-help book and every like self-help podcast and you're like, life is amazing. Like I'm learning all these things. And going on walks by myself in different cities and listening to Jay Shetty, you know? And I got so inspired by like self-help and wellness and all of that. And I started hearing about how all of these and high performance habits, like I was super into all of that. 5 a.m. Club is a wonderful book if someone hasn't read it, but by Robin Sharma. And I was seeing all these like high performers and these habits that they had. And one of them was a morning routine. And I was like, okay, what's this connection between like, you know, Kobe Bryant and Oprah Winfrey? They both have morning routines. What is this thing that's going on? So I started like creating my own and doing my own. And that really started this journey of creativity for me outside of acting, or for whoever's listening to this, outside of like your norm or that thing that isn't like sparking you. And acting definitely sparked me. It's just I wasn't doing it 300 days a year. I was doing it for like 20 at the time. So I needed something else. So what this quiet time in the morning did for me, this time and space that I created for my thoughts to come through and the universe to speak to me, it was so helpful and inspiring. And I got whispered so many different like ideas and things that would motivate me. And that's when I created my morning routine journal called Magic. And so after filming Siren, I didn't book for easily a year and a few months. And I had quit my job, my restaurant job, because I was making money commercially. I would book like a national commercial and make some good money, but I wasn't like thriving. You know what I mean? Like we were just barely getting by. And this year and a half off, you know, no restaurant job, booked one commercial. So that shoots once a year. I had so much time and started doing my morning routine. And I created the actual physical journal itself, which is the Magic Method. And MAGIC is an acronym that stands for meditation, affirmations, gratitude, intentions, and coffee. It was like this thing that I do every single morning. And I would write down, I would meditate for 5 to 10 minutes. Now I mostly read and like I'll do deep breaths and stuff, but I don't do guided meditations as much as I just don't go on my phone and make a coffee and read for 30 minutes, which to me is meditation in itself. And then, so I've kind of changed the M to mindfulness. And then I would write 3 affirmations, 3 things I'm grateful for, set 3 intentions, have my coffee, which is a metaphor for taking action. Cause you can't, you know, you can manifest and meditate all you want, but if you're not taking action, nothing's going to happen. So people started asking me about the journal. And so I created like a tangible journal and that became my small business. And I loved it. And that filled me up for a really long time because if anyone's ever started any sort of business or even doing your own social media business, you know how much time it takes and how many little things you have to create and little email campaigns, whatever. I was just like so busy doing that and it was filling me up that then I booked, of course, because I was like a whole human being versus this like desperate being that was vying for an acting role.
Yeah, you were like calling it in more than chasing it. And I think that just applies to anything in life.
Anything. And now these days I'm still doing magic, but now I've just expanded so much and doing like my acting mentorship. I'm creating an acting course. And then I also host elaborate vision boarding events that so far only take place in LA, but will be expanding.
No, that's amazing. And you know, like it, I would imagine that it would be hard to just get a regular job as well, because you're you're getting booked, like, you know, for example, we booked this episode, this interview for yesterday, but then you got last minute booked for a job. So like an acting job. So, you know, I would imagine that that would be hard for, say that you have a job where like other people are relying on you rather than just you having your own businesses, to be like, hey, I can't come in tomorrow. I actually got, you know, booked. Like, I would imagine that that can't be easy.
It is. Yeah. A lot of my clients are like, especially if they're in their 20s, they're like, first of all, what do I do like on the side, right? Like, where do I go? I don't want to be in corporate. Like, I didn't even, maybe they did go to college, but they're like, what do I do? And I'm like, that's such a heavy question. I don't know. But the beauty of pursuing acting in 2024, 2025 is that everything is self-tapes. So you could pursue a job in acting and have a 9-to-5, 100%. It just depends on what that 9-to-5 is and how taxing that it is for you. But you can absolutely have a job and pursue it in this day and age with self-tapes. It just might be stressful for you. But for me, I don't know how people like function. You know what I mean? For me, like, I don't mind like hustling at a job and then having a tape do. But I also am not a single mom with a kid. So like, everyone is going to have their own trials and tribulations. But it's kind of happy news. You can make it work pursuing a career in acting these days.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
While working.
I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com. I know one of you girls can relate to this, so we gotta talk about it. You know when you feel like you're doing everything right, eating healthy, working out, but your energy still crashes or your mood swings hit out of nowhere? And then you stress because you don't know what you're doing wrong? Well, what I've learned is that it's not you at all, because a lot of these issues are tied to hormone imbalances. And then the stress just makes it worse because it messes with your hormones even more. And that's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part? After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. So of course, I took the hormone quiz myself, and it gave me some insight into what might be happening with my hormones, like potentially an overload of estrogen, which can affect me in all kinds of ways. So it recommended I take Hormone Harmony, which helps with bloating, chronic fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, anxiety, your cycle, and more. And after adding it to my routine, I noticed such a difference. We often think we need big lifestyle changes to feel better, but in reality, small habits like taking Hormone Harmony every day can have a huge impact on how we feel. And taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now, it's about investing in your long-term health. So whether you're recommended Hormone Harmony like I was or another Happy Mammoth product, the quiz will help guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code FORTHEGIRLS for 15% off today. Okay, girls, today I'm giving you the inside scoop on my favorite place to save this spring. At Ross, It's the spot to get everything you need at prices you'll love. Because when you find brand names for 20 to 60% off other retailers' prices, you'll definitely be finding your next favorite outfit and more. Trust me, you don't want to miss out on these deals on your favorite dresses and tops. And at this price, you might as well throw in a new purse or pair of shoes too. But Ross isn't just about savings. They're about giving back. This year, Ross and their customers raised over $4.1 million to support the Boys and Girls Clubs and local youth programs to help kids and families thrive. Seriously, just visit your local Ross and see for yourself. Because I know you like to keep your closet full and your costs low. So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at your local Ross.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Okay, girls, I got a question for you all to think about. How would life be different if you developed undeniable confidence? Well, you're about to find out, because I know you're sick of settling for the bare minimum. I know you crave more in life. So imagine how different your life would be if you had the tools to stop settling, to start raising your standards, and to start getting everything you want in life. And guess what? You can get all the tools through my Queens of Confidence coaching program. It's a self-paced, 8-module digital program that has been proven to change lives through recorded coaching videos, journal prompts and worksheets, and a community discussion board for you to ask me any questions and connect with the other members of the program too. Topics of the Queens of Confidence program include external validation, feminine energy, masculine energy, boundaries, high standards, communication skills, self-doubt, limiting beliefs, imposter syndrome, daily habits, mindful living, emotional availability, improving your relationships, understanding your needs, attracting everything you want, and yes, more. You can get instant access to the entire program right now, and best of all, you can watch and learn at your own pace because your access is granted forever. Some of the queens who have completed the program said, "It's the best investment I've ever made into myself. Vic is the best person to learn from. She's a true expert when it comes to confidence. Worth every penny." And I've taken a couple of courses where they sound rehearsed or just repeat the same cookie cutter things. Your course is the complete opposite, and your everyday examples really drive your points home. So girls, it's your time. Invest in yourself, you're worth it, and your 2.0 self will thank you for changing your life for the better. Head to victoriaalario.com or click the link in the show notes and get the Queens of Confidence program now.
I can't wait to see you get like a big like, I don't know, some big, 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 massive role. And then, like, that's your thing. Like, I'm so, like, cause now that, like, I got you, like, I'm gonna be following along. Like, cause now I know the inside, like, I don't really know anything about this. To me, it's like, you know, you're Lydia from Tell Me Lies. Of course, you're an actor, you know? Like, that's yeah. Like, and so it's like, that's,
Actors are people too. We go grocery shopping. No, I'm just kidding.
That's so funny. But like, you know, like for someone who's just watching, you think like, okay, someone is an actor. They're making $1 million. Like, and it's just not, you know? And so hearing that whole journey, I think is very important. And it's, first of all, it's eye-opening. And second of all, it makes you realize, you know, it's actually more attainable than people, I think, realize to be able to follow that dream. Because it's not like, okay, I need to drop everything and just like live in whatever, wherever. Like, you actually can do more things with the self-tape, with having to have your job and whatnot.
It's attainable. It's really hard, right? It's really hard. And I also want people to really like look deep inside themselves and like see if it's what they really want to do, right? Yeah. It's not glamorous. Mm-mm. It is not glamorous. I act for free and I get paid to audition is what I say. You know what I mean? Like, my day job is auditioning and being available for any and all auditions and putting my work into it. I have an audition right here that I have highlighted and taped, and I'm going to tape it later tonight. And I read the script and I memorized it and I took my notes. Like, so it's not this like easy, glamorous thing. And also what people don't understand too is like, I've think I've filmed like maybe 45 episodes of television under my roster, maybe 50. None of them have shot in Los Angeles. So think about all that travel. Atlanta, New York, it's wonderful. I love it. But I know so many people here in LA that are like, especially back in the day when I was younger and used to go out more, and you know, I had model friends who wanted to quote act, and they'd be like, oh, but I have this audition, but I have a dog. And I'm like, what are we doing?
Get rid of the dog.
But like, you have to leave your family. You have to leave, you know what I mean? And so it's a,
it's commitment. It's not just a job. It's a commitment. It's a career. Like, it's something that you have to be willing to make sacrifices for. But guess what? This can apply to any other sort of, you know, business. How many girls want to be their own boss and they want to start a business and they want to do this, but they don't commit themselves to it. They don't devote themselves to it. And when you start something like this, something that's can be extremely rewarding, whether it is acting or it is a business, something aside from just a standard 9-to-5 job, which could also be great because you could have benefits and a good pay and whatever. But aside from that, it requires sacrifice. It requires investments. It requires discipline. And it also requires your 100% passion to this thing. Like, I wouldn't do it because I don't want to, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, for me, I could say, yeah, I love Tell Me Lies. I want to be on Tell Me Lies because I love that show. But do I want to be an actor? Do I want to travel and go through auditions? No. So if I was getting denied and rejected left and right, I wouldn't stick it out because I don't have the passion for it. Someone like you who has gone through those 320 auditions and all that, you stuck it out because, like you said, you had that hope. You had that passion. Like, this is what you saw yourself doing without a shadow of a doubt. And so I've talked about this. Everything you're saying is even if this is a different area, a different realm, because this is acting and we haven't talked about that specifically on this show, it's nothing different than what I've talked about with any other entrepreneur, anyone else who does their passion project. Yeah, like it is. Even content creation, all the girls want to be an influencer, but they don't want to post every day. Like, I'm sorry, this is what has to get done if you want to reap the benefits of the career that you claim you want. It's that simple.
It is. And I think that if you are struggling with what that passion is, because I know there's so many things out there these days and things get so confusing, honestly, you just see, you can ingest so much content in 25 seconds. And so that's why what I said earlier about like creating the time and space for you, where like the phone is away, everything is away, distractions, and you just like make a coffee and light a candle and you can just either sit. Or reading is great too. Like, I don't find that as a distraction. I think I get really inspired when I read, especially if it's something on the self-help or psychology, anything like that. My mind, entrepreneurship, my mind starts to really expand. So like, go on a nature walk. Like, the science behind walking outside in nature is incredible. So if you're feeling lost or like you don't know what that thing is, or maybe you have been pursuing something like acting, entrepreneurship, influencing, and it's been years or you're not enjoying the process, take a step back and really look at what it is that you're doing and seeing if it's making you happy and if you can pivot in a way. Another tool that I love, love, love doing that I don't think is used enough is writing things down. Like, not journaling. You don't have to stream of conscious journal. You don't have to date it. But like, dude, the amount of journals I have around the house, or notebooks call them, with to-do lists of like getting it, I like to call it a whiteboard, getting it out on, some people hire life coaches and business coaches to just blurt out their to-dos and dreams and everything so that the life coach can like take notes and then say it back to you. So like, if you can get something out and start writing, like, okay, for me, for vision boarding events like that I host that are quite elaborate and a lot to do, and like, people get so analysis paralysis. Where do I start on this endeavor? What do you need to do? What are the steps, the little steps before the big thing, before the big screen, right? What are the little, I need to sign up for an acting class. What is the to-do under that? Google acting classes near me. Oh, I want to start a journal company. When I started Magic, people are like, how did you print those? How did you do it? Like, what? How do you even come up? Okay, well, first let's come up with the idea. Okay, I want cute notebooks. Great. Let's think about the designs in a second. I know I'm super creative. Let me put that on the back burner. How do I even do this? YouTube, Google, printing, China. What's the deal? Like, what do I, you know what I mean? Like, little things. And I think that is the main thing we Tony Robbins says, you overestimate what you can do in 1 year and underestimate what you can do in a decade. Because in 1 year, we're like, well, I didn't get anything done. I didn't get anything done. I'm quitting on that thing. And it's like, tinker every day at this one thing. And in 10 years, you will have that dream built.
Yeah. Oh, every single thing that you just said, it like resonates so hard. It's things that I say on this show all the time. First of all, the to-do list thing, really, like, I love that you brought that up, because I always say, like, people put the big thing on their to-do list instead of the actionable steps that you can do. That is so, like, you could look at your to-do list and it could get you nowhere, because you could be like, oh, I have to, okay, let's use the journals. To-do list, make a journal brand. Like, that's not yeah. to-do list stuff. Like, the to-do list is do the research, find a vendor, find whatever it is, you know?
Like, make a call.
Yeah, fail. Like, pick up the phone.
Send a weird email. Yeah. Send a yes. weird email that makes no sense.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
on accident, because you didn't know that you weren't supposed to email that part of the company, or you wrote it way too long paragraph. And
right. 100%. And so, you know, I think that people overcomplicate things, that those things, especially even just the starting points, like, that should be the simple stuff that just comes to you naturally. So if you're already struggling there, let's go back to the drawing board. Let's really figure out, one, what you actually want to do, and two, why you actually want to do it. Because if you want to do something just because Natalie does it and it sounds great and looks cool, that's not good enough. That's not enough of a why. That's not enough of a purpose and a reason. You have to actually have that drive. Because say that they see that you're coming out with journals and they're like, how does she do it? Well, because she actually wanted to do it, so she figured it out. Like, mm-hmm. if you're sitting there just like so consumed with Natalie and less consumed with you actually starting the project, you're not going to get ahead. And so,
yeah,
I think that's super important.
And you brought up something good that's kind of juicy. Like, it made me think that if you're not taking action for so long, that's great. Can we nix out that thing that you thought you wanted to do? It's not what you want to do, because you don't want to get into the process, which is the most important thing with actors. I tell them, you have to fall in love with auditioning. That is what we're doing 90% of our career. And then one day, if you're lucky enough, you will be Zendaya. But for the most part, you have to do all of this process of auditioning and all of that. And then you can get there. And so you have to like that. If that's 12 years of the 30, how are you supposed to get to the 13th, like the year that yeah. you're scientifically going to book, if you don't like the 12 years? You're not going to even energetically manifest it to begin with.
Yeah, your energy is just not going to be there. You're not going to be the right person for the job, because you're not showing up as the right version of yourself in the first place. So I think that's super important. Speaking of auditions, I want to dive into a little bit more Tommy Lies talk. I want to know how you landed the role of Lydia, what that audition process was like, and, you know, that came across your desk, and what happened?
Yeah, I actually originally auditioned for Diana in 2021, I think it was. Yeah, 2021, I originally auditioned for Diana. The audition came through and I didn't think anything of it. It was just another audition, because at the time there were so many. And I was like, great, wonderful, new opportunity, love the sides, which is like the audition. I don't believe I got a script at the time. Might have. But put it on tape, nothing happened. Then I would say 8 months later, in January of 22, my manager reached out. He's like, do you remember that thing that you auditioned for, Tell Me Lies? And I was like, I think so. Yeah, he's like, they want you to audition for another role on it. And I'm like, wonderful. Like, if they bring you back, that's great. It means they liked you to begin with. So put that on tape. And then they're like, okay, cool. You're going to have a callback for it. Do the callback. And I don't think there were any notes or anything. It was just like we did it a couple times, which is also really good. And I think I taped twice actually for Lydia before that initial like Zoom audition. One time, and then I got notes, taped it again, and then did the audition in the Zoom. And then on, I think it was February 13th of 22, because I was on set for a Snickers commercial, and I got a call from my agent and manager. And whenever they call me at the same time, like, it means something really good is happening. And I was like, what the hell? So they called me and they're like, you booked Tell Me Lies and you're going to Atlanta tomorrow for 3 weeks to film like the first episode. And I was like, holy shit. I was over the moon.
Wow, that's so exciting. Like, finding out that you're going tomorrow, does that ever like freak you out, or you're like, just, I'm ready to go?
I'm ready to go. I'm used to it. It is my full-time job. So it's great because it is my full-time job. Anytime that something comes up, I'm ready to go. Like, I booked Chicago PD, I would say a month and a half ago. And the next day I had to get on a plane. Booked it on Thursday at like 11 a.m., had to be on a 6 a.m. Friday flight. So I was picked up by the car sent by production at 3:15 a.m.
Yeah, so you're not even a full 24 hours.
Not even a full 24 hours. Went there, went straight to a fitting and makeup test in Chicago. That was Friday. And then Saturday and Sunday you have off. And then I started filming on Monday. And like, for example, the other thing is, let's say like, for example, I'm going back to Chicago, right? So those dates are like booked out for me. So it's as if you have a job and like, I cannot work on those dates. I'm contractually bound to like those dates that they are already booked me on, which is like November 25th to December 12th or whatever. I can't audition for things during that time in case I book it. You know what I mean? So that's the only part where it gets jobby, where I'm like, oh, I can't work these days. But for the most part, you audition, you book, and you're able to do it.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Now, you said you booked and you were going to film the first episode, like, okay, the next day. Now, that first episode showed the future and the past. So when you were filming that first episode, did you know that you were going to be engaged to Steven at the end? Or were you just in the past at do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. No, I had no idea.
Okay.
So I did not know that I was going to be engaged to Steven until we shot that scene.
So was that the last thing you filmed?
No. So funny enough, we started filming. I started filming. So blah, blah, blah. I get to Atlanta, go to a fitting and all of that. And then I'm waiting around like for like a few days before we start filming. And I knew that I was... Day one was like on a Wednesday, let's say. And so Tuesday, they're like, hey, we're going to film a little bit of episode 10 tomorrow because it's filming at the same place as episode one. They're like, just a scene. And I'm like, great. Okay. Can you send me the script? And they're like, we can't send you the script because they don't send scripts like until a few weeks before that episode starts shooting. So I'm like, okay, yeah, just send me the scene, you know, like the sides. Like just this.
Right.
And they're like, yeah. I'm like, okay, great. So I get the scene, da da da. I'm on my phone. I'm sure I opened it like immediately, not thinking anything of it. I'm just literally like thinking, okay, let me memorize my lines, you know? And I'm like scrolling and literally reading it. And I'm like, mouth drops open. I'm like, no fucking way. This is crazy. And I was really excited, you know, to be the plot twist. Like, that was really exciting for me.
I just got the chills, though. Like you landed such an insane role. Like, you were the plot twist. Like, okay, you see that, you read that, and now are you freaking out? Like, what is that feeling like?
The feeling is excitement. I'm like, I was just really excited. I was like, you know, like you said, as an actor who's just really been trying for so many years and has booked, you know, I'm on currently a great show. We just finished filming called Raising Kanan that I'm in 3 seasons of. So like I had been working and stuff. But it's no matter what, it's so exciting. It's exciting to get the script for your episode anytime, no matter what is happening inside. It is like, what's the best way to describe it? It's like, you have no idea what you're about. For example, I'm going back to Chicago to film an episode. I don't have the script. When that hits my inbox, I'm like a kid on Christmas. What the hell am I going to be acting in, shooting? What is it? Is it raining? Are we taking a jet in the scene? Like, or am I using guns? That's fun. Like, what are we doing? And then you start reading everything and you're like, oh, I'm going to jump in a pool. It's cool. Like, oh, I'm screaming. I get kidnapped. Oh my God, this is crazy. And then you start thinking about how you get to act in all of that. And it's great. So like for reading that, and then of course you're just like, oh, how did this happen? And everything, you know, your mind goes to so many different places. And as the actor that gets to like play it and like play, literally play like a kid play, it is like a dream.
Yeah. You get the script, but you're obviously alone. You're not like all together just like table reading for the first time of getting your script. So now do you guys become friends? Like, are you talking to Grace and Jackson? Like, holy shit, Lydia. Like, or what is that like?
That's a good question. I hadn't met anyone yet because we hadn't started even filming day one. I think day one was shooting the engagement scene of episode one, season one. And then we simultaneously shot the last scene of episode 10 of season one.
Right.
Because it was at that house with all those extras. So I hadn't met anyone yet.
So you guys are working together for the first time. Really not – like, don't you have to, like, build chemistry first and stuff like that?
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think. Where did Grace and I meet? I don't remember. I feel like it might have been before at like coffee or something. I don't know. But she's great and we've become great friends throughout. A lot of my scenes are with her. So, because, you know, I'm not at Baird and stuff. So I've had some really fun scenes with the whole cast, which is so much fun. We all have like a blast. But we hang out offsite, like when we're in Atlanta, you know, dinners and game nights and stuff like that. So we build chemistry that way. But day one, no, they're not worried about like, do you guys have chemistry? You know, you can always build that. But a lot of the cast met before I met a lot of people because they're in season one, like they're in all the episodes. They got cast like 7 months before. I got cast a week before filming, you know? So also depending on the characters, like they have chemistry reads, you know? Yeah. So a lot of the characters did that.
Interesting. Very interesting. And you know what? It's funny because like you guys play your roles so well that when I do see these things, like whether it is, you know, from a behind the scenes, a chemistry, I don't know. I've seen all the clips, even like the press interviews and just seeing everyone like hanging out like as people and not as your role. It's a mind fuck for me. Like you guys are so talented and so professional that like you really embody like, and you know what I will say too, that I appreciate as a consumer of this, as someone watching it, that yes, you've all been in things before, but no one is like just throwing Selena Gomez in the show just because it's Selena Gomez. So I'm like introduced to all of you for the first time. Some of the viewers may have seen you guys in other things, but I feel like this show is really like you guys are, to me, new on the scene. Yeah. So it's like, I don't have this, like, you know, I haven't seen Wicked, but to me it's like, oh, Ariana Grande is playing Wicked, you know, playing Glinda. So it's like, I'm seeing Ariana Grande. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, you get to be your character, not be Natalie, this celebrity. So like, I love that. And so it's seeing like you guys
in
American Horror Story. So seeing you guys off camera as people who get along is interesting to me.
Totally. I totally agree. They did such a great job casting it. And
So now, do you have theories? Like, I know that you don't, first of all, you don't even know technically if you're going to be back for season 3. I could tell you that you're going to be because they would be like, what? That'd be the dumbest thing ever. So like, let's just say that you are, okay? Because you are. Do you have theories? Theories for where the show is going to go? Theories for Lydia? Like, what are your thoughts if you had to sum up what you think is gonna, and also, do you think that Lydia, I think Lydia's gonna be in more in season three now. Now that that all has been tied, like those loose ends have been tied up, I feel like we're gonna see more. Cause we need to understand how Lydia and Steven even got together.
I know. I don't freaking know. I know it's not the answer you want. I think that they're way more creative than me, to be completely honest. I feel like anything I say there, it's just like the twists and turns that they'll do is going to be so much deeper. I do take into consideration that, you know, the girls I think are in junior year, right? So it's like, they're still in college. So maybe it's something we meet outside. I'm in New York, or like I'm not on campus. So maybe the guys who have graduated now are back in the city, like working. Maybe we meet there in a more adult way. I don't know. Cause it's not going to be at Baird.
Right. Well, you have that scene with Steven.
We met at Baird for sure. Right. Yeah. Like, we met there, but
you see the wheels turning in Steven's head when he meets you, when you're like, oh, I'm going to see my brother or whatever, and he just found out that Lucy and Evan hooked up, and then he sees you and you just see the wheels turning.
Mm-hmm. exactly. So I don't know, for Lydia, you know, I think like there could even be more stuff that happened, right? There's so many years in between this. I think that's another thing that people forget. It's like, what, 8 years? 10?
Right.
10 years. So there's more things that could happen. Also, like, actually a little shocked how much people, and I love everyone's passion, but how much they hate. I think everyone hates every character. So I understand that, but like, they hate Lydia so much, when I'm just like, she's been nothing but a good friend to Lucy. If you take just them as freshmen in college, they're best friends. Then she tells her boyfriend off because she punched her ex-boyfriend and she's excited to be there. She just cried at my house for an entire summer and I had her back. Clearly Lydia's a little bit more of the like, she's probably a little bit more aggressive in a way. And that's why she was like so down to go up to him and stuff. And in her mind, her brother is not doing anything wrong. She's only 20. What are you supposed to open your mind and really think like, ooh, is it a possibility that he raped? Like, no, she's not thinking in that way. So in this moment when she's 20, 21, or not even 21 yet, how do you hate? She's done nothing wrong yet.
Right. Right. Yeah, no, I get it. And I feel like if I were you, I would be like defensive of my role too, because I know her. Like, you know her. You have the behind the scenes stuff. You know like what Lydia's thinking and feeling, and somebody watching is just like, because here's the thing. Everyone has been Lucy in this toxic relationship where even though they shouldn't be together, you want them weirdly to be together. It's intoxicating. Yeah. It's addicting. So it's like you see that, like you want to see Lucy and Steven together, even though they shouldn't be. So to see Lydia get the ring from Steven, it's like you ruined my fantasy. Okay. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
That's what I think. But I mean, I respect the creativity of the show so much that I – oh my god, I didn't even think about this. I have a video. I won't be able to find it right now, but I have a video. So I got my boyfriend to watch Tell Me Lies. So I watched Tell Me Lies 2022, you know, season one, before I even met my boyfriend. And then, you know, it came back now, season two, 2024. And I was like starting to watch episode one, episode two. And I'm like, fuck, my boyfriend has to watch this with me. So I got him to watch. We went back. I'm like, all right, let me hold. And then I went back and we watched season one.
Oh my God.
So I took two videos of my boyfriend watching the show. One was Steven and Diana coming down the steps from the party. Because that scene oh my God, that is my favorite scene to this day. Like, that scene did something to me. So I recorded him watching that. I'm like, I gotta get his reaction. And then I also recorded him watching when Lydia comes to the engagement or whatever it is.
Oh my God, party. I have to see it.
Yeah, I have to find that video. And he's like, He's like, and everyone does the same thing. They're like, wait, who was that? Like, everyone has that same thing. I think that that's the only thing they could have done more was add a little bit more Lydia in there. Like, you're in it, but a little bit more so that, like, everyone knows 100% who it is. Because I had to rewind it, too, watching it my first time. Be like,
yes,
wait, why am I not picking up on who that is? But then, yes. So with him, as soon as he watched it, I'm like, Lydia, Lucy's best friend. So, like, I was able to tell. So he's like,
you're able to tell him. Yeah.
He's like, oh, shit. He ends up with her best friend. Like, so I totally forgot about that. Yeah, those are the two scenes that I recorded him because I'm like, this is
hilarious.
Epic.
I posted a TikTok once and I was like, I think it was my TikTok that's like over a million views now that I shared my reaction when I read the script, what I shared on the podcast. And I said, I think it was that video where I was like, I wish there was a compilation of everyone in America's face.
100%. Like,
because everyone would be thought so it was going to be Diana, but also people weren't sure because it would be too on the nose almost if it was her. So I think people were like, what's it going to be? Yeah.
Yeah. And once he's like, he's not saying her name, he's saying like my fiance, like, you know, that there's going to be like, I'm like, okay, is it going to be like Pippa? Like, I don't know. Like, it's going to be somebody, you know? So
yeah.
Another scene that had my jaw on the floor was seeing Pippa and Diana in season 2, episode 1, when Pippa walks into the apartment and Diana's in the bed. I'm like, oh, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
So, yeah. Oh, it's just one of those shows that just has, I mean, I've never seen so many jaw-dropping, like, plot twist moments.
Right. They really do a great job at the twists and turns.
Yeah. So I hope that there's a lot more of Lydia. Obviously now, like, selfishly, I'm like, yeah, I want to see you, more
Thank
of you.
I
can't wait to see what happens. I'm sure that there's going to be another season. Even if we don't know yet, I'm sure that there will be. And yeah, is there any other last little, like, behind the scenes things? Anything that comes to mind that you just think fans would want to know of the show? Because I know that my audience is going to, like, they're going to be like, you should have asked this, you should have asked that. So just any last things that you think would be good for someone to know.
If you make it to an hour and 10 minutes in, I love you and you are an impressive individual. And you're lucky because I'm going to tell you a funny behind the scenes. So in episode 1, season 2, Lydia and Steven are at now it's the wedding party. It's no longer the engagement party, right? It's a new party. They're in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
And Bree is giving a speech and Steven and Lydia are canoodling in the corner of episode 1, season 2. And they kiss and Steven is kind of whispering in her ear and that kind of stuff. Jackson the whole time was saying, I just farted. And he didn't fart. He was just trying to make me laugh. And he's like,
so it's like real laughter.
Yeah. I was like really, really laughing.
Are you not mic'd up when you're like in the background like that? Like, can he be saying, like, I'm farting? Like, does no one hear that?
Oh, yeah, he can say it. Even if they did, no one cares, that he would be saying that. But I don't think we were mic'd. If we didn't have lines, we probably weren't mic'd. And then in the scene where, at the end, where I'm holding, like, my brother's laundry, and I'm, like, in episode 8 of season 2, I'm standing on an apple box. Like, I'm standing higher on like this. So like every time we did action, I would have to like stand up onto this like tall thing because it was the angle. It's not because like of anything else. And then during that scene, I could not stop laughing I think it was because the apple box or something like that. And so him and I were cracking up.
Wait, what is an apple box?
Oh, sorry. It's like a brown box, but not like cardboard, like
a wood box.
Yeah.
Oh,
to make me taller.
Like a box that apples
like
go
Tom
in.
Cruise. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay. I never thought of it that way. I just thought that it was like an acting term, like an apple box. Like, I didn't realize you meant like a crate of
No,
apples.
It is an acting, like apple boxes, the crew, there's apple boxes everywhere. Like, hey, we need 3 apple boxes over here. But I'm sure they get the term because it really is. But there's not. Yeah, there actually is a hole in it. It is a crate, but they flip it upside down and it holds equipment. No, there's no hole in it. It's solid. But it's like they set equipment on it. Like, Yeah.
And you had to stand on it.
Tom Cruise stands on apple boxes to be taller next to his female counterparts.
Oh, shit. Why? How tall is Tom Cruise?
Very short.
Oh, whoa. I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, wow. So the guys must be tall because you're 5'6". Like, that's not even short. I'm 5'2". So, like, that's
really, yeah. Like, I'm it short. Wasn't for height. We were doing it because it was a weird angle thingy.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. There's got to be so many little things like that that, like, the viewers just wouldn't know. You know what I always pick up on? When a stunt double, like, stands in to do, like, a side thing, like a hug or something. And I'm always like, I'll say Lydia, for example. I'm like, that's not Lydia. That's someone else. In, you know what I mean? I pick up on those things. That's funny. Oh, my goodness. Well, this was amazing. We covered literally anything and everything. So I absolutely loved this. Anything new coming up for you? I'm sure there's so much in store. Anything that, you know, the girls can be on the lookout for? Anything you want to share before we wrap up?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was really fun. You know, now I'm on Chicago PD. People that watch it already know and they love, like, the comments on my TikToks are so funny. They're like, I was watching Chicago PD and I screamed Lydia at my screen. So, like, it's so much fun. But that's my latest thing that I've been filming. And then I love chatting with you guys. So, like, I have a website, natalielanez.com, and it has some acting tools and stuff, like a free download on there. You can always email me, DM me. I also host events. So if you put in your email on my website, I don't have a weekly email. I'm not going to spam you with emails, but you'll be notified for, like, our next event or new products that launch or anything like that.
So you have a sold out event coming up. You have all these different things. When are we going to get you to New York? When are we going to see you doing events in other cities?
I know. I really want to do New York. A lot of my acting clients are New York because they're theater based and they want to know how to get into TV and film. So I have a little crew of people over there that are like, when are you going to do something here? But I want to do a vision boarding event in New York. It would be epic to do it January 2025, but that's so soon. But it definitely is possible. So either
stay on the lookout.
One of us. Yeah, stay on the lookout for sure, for real. Because they're really fun.
What's your social media handle so all the girls can follow you?
Natalie, spelled with 2 E's, no I, Lanez. I was going to say at gmail.com. No, Natalie Lanez. Just Natalie Lanez.
That's it, guys. Do not email her at gmail.com. That's so funny. Oh, Natalie, this was amazing. I really appreciate you being here and taking the time. And this was a lot of fun. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Victoria. Bye, guys.
I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.